Hi, this is Jim Quick, and I have a quick update for you. I'm proud to announce my very first book, Limitless. Upgrade your brain, learn anything faster, and unlock your exceptional life. This book is not only based on the latest neuroscience, it is field tested for over 28 years of working with some of the most amazing minds on our planet. Just go to limitlessbook.com and enjoy this book.
Welcome to Quick Brain, bite-sized brain hacks for busy people who want to learn faster and achieve more. I'm your coach, Jim Quick.
Free your mind.
Let's imagine if we could access 100% of our brain's capacity.
I wasn't high, wasn't wired, just clear. I knew what I needed to do and how to do it.
I know Kung Fu.
Show me.
Welcome back, Quick Brain. Your question for today is a big one. How do you eat smarter? Nobody wants to eat stupid, right? And so we have back with us a very popular guest, somebody who's been on our show numerous times. We're really glad that he's back, Sean Stevenson. He is a nutritionist, best-selling author, number one top health podcast host. We've had you back on this. We had you on the show in the past talking about your book, Sleep Smarter, which very popular episodes. Now we're going to talk about your upcoming book called Eat Smarter. Brilliant branding, my friend. Thanks for coming back.
It's my pleasure, man. I love talking with you, Jim.
Dude, I could talk to you for hours. So we know, let's jump into food. We know what you eat matters, especially for your gray matter. And let's talk a little bit about brain. You and I were geeking out about brain anatomy before we started recording. What's this thing made out of? Because what you eat becomes you. But what's the brain made out of?
Yeah, this is such a great question. Just an important place to begin, because oftentimes I don't think we really realize that our brains are made out of the stuff that we eat. And our brain is actually a very, very hungry organ, as a matter of fact. It only takes up about 2% of our body's overall mass, but it consumes upwards of 25% of the calories we consume. It's a massively hungry organ. And it just makes sense because it's also arguably the most complex entity in the known universe. Yeah. And being that it's doing so many different processes, literally like trillions of things are happening right now in our brains. Many of these pathways and the way that we are feeding our brain is actually this part. Once we get in this conversation, it's not as clear cut as it may seem, because being that it's the most complex and powerful entity in the known universe, it's also very protective, right? Our brains are so powerful, but yet they're very delicate. And they're actually about your brain's consistency is about the consistency of soft butter. And so it's like this beautiful poetry in nature. Like, this super powerful entity is also it's more delicate than my emotions after watching Toy Story 3. You know, like, I'm so, it's this beautiful poetry. Now, being that this is the case, it also has a security system, external and internal. The external security system, it's the only organ that's completely enclosed in its own hard shell, its own bone, right? We have our cranium, we have our skull that's protecting this organ. And that's protecting from external intrusions, but internal intrusions are even more potentially problematic, and because they're subtle. And for this, the brain has what's known as the blood-brain barrier. And it's really this highly sophisticated velvet rope, basically, of what's going to determine what's going to get into your brain and what won't. Because what's circulating in your body, in your bloodstream, there's a lot of toxins, there's a lot of, you know, metabolic waste. There are many different substances that can be incredibly detrimental to your brain. And so the brain has developed this very sophisticated system of identifying only specific things that can cross over this blood-brain barrier and make it into the brain. And so it's very, very selective. And our mutual friend, Dr. Lisa Moscone, she calls it neuronutrition, you know, and so the brain has its own diet. And so what I want folks to know just right off the bat is that there are specific nutrients that are able to cross the blood-brain barrier and directly feed the development of your brain cells, all right? And today we'll talk about what some of those are. And we're not just gonna talk about disease prevention as far as the brain and degradation. That's where a lot of the work is focused. We're gonna talk about the things you can do, specific foods and nutrients you can eat to make your brain work better.
And smarter. That's tangential. When we talk about our second brain, our gut, and you hear this term leaky gut syndrome, is there a similar phenomenon here in the brain, the blood-brain barrier, can certain things like leak in because of disease, inflammation?
Ooh, Jim, this is so good. So good. And I'm so honored about Eat Smarter coming out at this time and furthering these conversations, because this is going to be some of the first in book form information getting out to everyday folks to get educated in this topic. You know, there's leaky gut, and we also have this developing term of leaky brain, you know, and actually things that can break down this blood-brain barrier, this basically very sophisticated security system, can create a situation where it's breaking down and allowing things into the brain that shouldn't be there. And also having degradation in the ability for toxins and metabolic waste, because I just mentioned the brain is doing trillions of things. There's a lot of metabolic waste products that need to get shuttled out of the brain, and that process being broken down as well and not working as effectively. And this buildup of this, you know, like amyloid beta plaque, for example, and not being able to get it out of the brain. We talked about this in Sleep Smarter,
right, and
how sleep deprivation is one of the biggest factors behind an inability of the brain to clean itself, because it's when you're sleeping that this glymphatic system, this cleaning process, your brain's little internal helpers, it's about 10 times more active, you know? So what you just brought up is a very important factor in this. And this leads into a conversation, because what this topic in and of itself can be a whole show, but it leads into an important topic and a subject, this term that a lot of folks are going to hear more about coming up. And so this might be the first time you're hearing it, but there's this new phenomenon called neuroinflammation. It's not that it's new, it's just that now we have a term for it, and hypothalamic inflammation specifically. Mm. Hypothalamic inflammation, so the hypothalamus is really largely regarded as the master regulator of your endocrine system. All right, it's like the governator. It's like the one that's running what's happening downstream. Now, this is part of the HPA axis, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. But along that axis, the superhighway, is also your thyroid, for example. It's also factoring in, you know, what's happening with your immune system and your thymus gland. There's so much going on in this axis. Now, here's the big issue. And this is one of the things that we talk about that's probably, again, it's for a lot of folks, it's the first time they're going to be hearing it. Because when you're hearing about losing weight, we're generally focused on this kind of calorie paradigm and not understanding that your hypothalamus is regulating how your body is using or not using energy in your body. And the latest data that we have shows that hypothalamic inflammation can directly lead to leptin resistance. So leptin is your body's satiety hormone, well, your major satiety hormone. We talk about all the rest of them in the book too, but that leptin processing starts to go down. And so we find folks start to become increasingly more ravenous in their appetite and cravings. And they also found that this hypothalamic inflammation directly leads to weight gain. And nobody's talking about that with their diet programs, that we need to address the inflammation in your brain to lose weight. But your brain, and this is a very simple principle, it's controlling what everything in your body is doing. And this is the beauty of it. If we can get our brains healthy, we can get our bodies healthy.
And we've talked about this before, that as your waistline increases, your brain actually can shrink. And so that's why that weight management is so important as well. So let's talk about this. We have skyrocketing rates of brain inflammation.
Yeah.
So that's really affecting our health. And so you alluded to like foods maybe we should be avoiding that could contribute to it. And then the foods and the nutrients that would help build our brain so we could be smarter, better. What are some of those things?
Absolutely. So the first thing for folks to be aware of is that when we talked about the blood-brain barrier and basically having these little pathways that only allow certain types of cars to drive through them. Your brain has a lot of sugar pathways, a lot of sugar tunnels. Your brain has a preferential kind of treatment. It loves and will absorb of the vast majority of glucose calories that are in your body. We're talking upwards of 50 to 80% of the glucose that comes in, your brain is going to snatch it up. It loves it. But not because it's this like evolutionary drive to do it. It's just that this is what we're kind of hardwired to do, but that evolutionary drive can become faulty because of all the pure access of sugar that we have today that we never had throughout human evolution. And so these sugar pathways that are just driving all the glucose we might be taking in, all of these sugar calories. And I shared a recent study that upwards of about the average American is consuming over 100 pounds of added sugar every year.
That's okay. Mind-blowing.
That's added sugar. That's not even the naturally occurring sugar in so many different foodstuffs. And so it's really shocking. But at the same time, we don't realize that our brain is taking the brunt of it. And so these sugar pathways that are allowing rapid amounts of sugar to make it into the brain are one of the factors behind this growing epidemic of neuroinflammation. And one of the things that we see is that the brain's receptors, sugar receptors, receptors for insulin, because the brain also has this insulin production that's needed to drive the sugar into the cells. But we start to see insulin resistance happening in the brain. All right. And this insulin resistance in the brain is now being referred to as type 3 diabetes. It's one of the kind of subsets of what we refer to as Alzheimer's disease. So Alzheimer's is often being referred to now as type 3 diabetes. So this insulin resistance in the brain. And so we've got all of this kind of rampant sugar floating around in our system, creating inflammation. All right. So that's one of the big causative factors behind the breakdown of the blood-brain barrier and also the inflammation in the brain is our ever-increasing consumption of sugar. So now let me be clear. This does not mean that all sugar is bad, that you can't have sugar. It's just being aware that this isn't just about weight loss, you know, because we tend to think of sugar in this very vanity terms. It's literally destroying the most important organ in our lives that determine everything about you. And so that's really what I wanted to accomplish with this book, is to give people a layered understanding of how much food matters and not just this one vanity metric. And so, but the good news is we can fix these things.
With regards to sugar, does it matter the source then? If you're getting it from honey or maple syrup, does the source matter?
That's such a good question. And this gets into the conversation that I'll just briefly touch on, which is about our metabolic uniqueness. Our metabolic fingerprint is unique to us. Our cascade of microbiome, you know, our microbiome and our endocrine system, our neurotransmitters, the cascade that we have has never existed before in human history for us as an individual and will never exist after us. Even our cascade of all these different metrics is going to be different tomorrow than what it is today. The body is this constantly dynamic, changing entity. And so when we're focused on like what type of sugar, it depends on us. Okay. It depends on us. And I cite one of the studies in the book and I show this study is nuts. It has folks to consume either a banana or a cookie to see the impact that it has on their metabolism. And you would suspect like, okay, the cookie is definitely gonna be more detrimental to the blood glucose, you know, just right off the bat. Like the banana has a little bit of fiber, it has some micronutrients, like wasn't the case for everybody. Some folks had a banana and it flipped their system out. And the cookie did nothing to their metabolism. It did nothing to their blood sugar. It stayed normal as if they never had a cookie, all right? It depends on our unique metabolism, what type of sugar is going to be most detrimental or even potentially helpful.
And can you test that? Can you test that with like a glucose monitor or?
Yep. So we've got all these self-quantification devices that can tell us this feedback. For me personally, I'm always referring people back to paying attention to what's happening inside of their inner world. And this is something that we talked about, like this, any of us can get detracted from it, especially when we're like focused on big project or family stuff or social media, all this stuff takes us out of our own bodies. But if you just pay attention to how you feel when you have a certain food, how do you look when you are eating a certain way? How do you perform? How's your performance affected? Yeah. And all this can give us valuable data. You don't need to get a glucose monitor, but it can be helpful if you love that self-quantification information, and you might find out some really interesting things about how different foods affect your body.
Yeah, Sean, we have you to appreciate this because you have kids. We do a live kids program every Tuesday and Thursday from kids 9 to 13, 14, 18. And as part of it, because we don't want what's going on with school to get in the way of their education, right? And part of it is I was citing some of your work, and I was actually having them journal and talk about all the foods that pass through their lips and then how they feel afterwards. So that and not having a monitor, they could actually write down and go and connect with their intuition and see how they feel, and they could see the association, you know, or the correlation between what they're eating and the that cause and effect. But that's huge. That self-awareness is really a superpower.
Want to double your brain speed and memory power? If you'd like to learn rapidly and get ahead faster, I'd like to give you my brand new Quick Brain Accelerator program. You will discover exactly what I teach my clients to learn, read, and remember anything in half the time. There is no charge. It's my gift to you for being one of our subscribers. That's kwikbrain.com. Growing up struggling with learning challenges from a childhood brain injury, it's been my life's mission to help you have your very best brain so you can win more every single day. Now, want more Quick Brain? Here are four ways to fast track your results and lock in what you just learned into your long-term memory. Remember FAST, F-A-S-T. The F stands for Facebook. You're not alone on this journey. I invite you to join our free private online group. There you can connect with me, your fellow brain lovers, links to resources, and even submit your questions for me to answer in future episodes. Go to quickbrain.com. That's K-W-I-K brain.com. The A stands for apply. Act on what you learned today. Remember, knowledge is not power, it's potential power. It only becomes power when you use it. So use what you just learned. The S stands for subscribe. Don't miss the next episode and other free brain training. And finally, the T stands for teach. You want to learn faster now? The key is to lock it in right away by teaching it to someone else. When you teach something, you get to learn it twice. Here's a simple way to do that. Leave a review on iTunes. Leave a review with your biggest takeaway from this episode. You could also post and share this podcast on your social media. It helps us spread our mission of building better, brighter brains. And of course, tag us so our team can properly thank you. Hashtag QuickBrain, K-W-I-K brain. Mine is at Jim Quick, K-W-I-K, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So, what does FAST stand for? Facebook, apply, subscribe, teach. I'll see you in our next episode of Quick Brain. Until then, remember, you are faster and smarter than you think.